At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the Arsenal Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Charlie East, Chris Howard and Giles Aniam of Gunnerstown on a big day for the Arsenal. Hashtag we care, do you. The supporters are calling on Stan Kroenke to up his game, frankly, as leader of the club. Gents, Gunnerstown have signed this letter, signed by 16 major Arsenal supporting organisations, a few of whom are going to be on the line in just a minute or two. How frustrated are you by the state of things?
Very, but also very happy how the response we've had from this. Already there's a petition that's gone out there. It's just shy of 50,000. The exact number currently is 48,561 signatures.
48,826, as we
say. Going up.
Well, that's gone up in the space of a minute.
Yeah.
So, but we met a few of us
four weeks ago,
and sort of started this sort of movement and sort of discussions about it. And everyone in the room was from all different sort of backgrounds and different fan groups who previously didn't get on.
Wenger in, Wenger out.
Wenger out, shake it all about. but it just, everyone can get behind this because we've all got that one common goal, the love for Arsenal and the way we look at it. We need to sort of try and do something because we've got Kroenke just really sort of...
I think it's what was really fascinating, we were all there, all three of us were there at the meeting, and what was really fascinating for me is there were different factions, different elements of the Arsenal fan base. Some were what you would call more militant, on the other end of the scale there were some that were, you know, had a friendlier relationship with the club. But what was seen there was the fact that no matter what side of the fence you sat on, there was one common theme: we were all desperately disappointed with the situation. And it's not just about transfer this summer.
No.
It's about a myriad of things. And that's what the letter basically says. There's three or four key points of that letter. You know, we talk about the accountability, the running of the club. You look at the board, the age profile of the board. Four old white guys. You know, there's
the
no
average age is 79.
The average age is 79.
How big is it beyond just the age that they are all guys? Because Arsenal have got a very diverse fan base. How important is it that someone BAME should be on that panel?
It's not just BAME. It's somebody with football expertise and an independent thinker, as the letter says. So it's not just that they're four old white guys who've all sort of like been execs of big banks or big financial institutions. It's about having the football expertise, knowledge, be able to actually, you know, make clear-cut decisions, you know, and be accountable for those decisions. Because as we've seen in the last 12 years, you know, we've just been on a downward spiral. Things have been, people have been put in place, people have been given big salaries. They're not, you know, they've hardly shifted the needle in terms of putting the club in a position where we should be challenging for stuff. You know, we've been overtaken by our local rivals like Tottenham, you know, so that's the kind of thing that we're talking about.
So what needs to change to allow the club to challenge? It says in your letter, it feels as though Arsenal is at a crossroads. Things need to change. What needs to change and how?
One of the words that's been going around in my head again and again and again for a long time is this word of accountability. And Giles touched on it and Charlie's just touched on it. But that is one of the fundamental flaws in the way I think Arsenal has been run since the Kroenke era and the KSE has taken over. If you look at the situation with someone like even Gazidis, who I'm sure you guys know already that I'm not exactly the biggest fan of, but here we have a guy who was in a role for 10 years and who has overseen an increase, no doubt, in the commercial successes at Arsenal. However, when you compare that I think the phrase a rising tide carries all boats. When you compare that to the rest of the Premier League and the way and the size in which of Arsenal, what we have been able to deliver just from the commercial side, and this is the part where Gazidis is in control of, it hasn't been acceptable. The club at the same time has declined in the competitiveness on the pitch. It has declined in the way in which it's been run, and the accountability isn't there because at no stage in recent past have any of us really felt that, you know, if something isn't working at Arsenal, somebody is going to ask questions. Mm. So where are those questions being asked? Who is asking those questions? I think that is the getting to the fundamental premise of a lot of what we are talking about here. Who is asking those questions? And it doesn't appear to be that anyone's asking questions, because you have people like Gazidis who can stay in a job for as long as he had. And you had Wenger who stayed in his job a little bit longer. Like, we all knew it was time.
Yep.
Let's not turn this into a Wenger debate, because but that is symptomatic of... It just, nothing happened. It just, the rudderless ship just lurching forward from season to season.
But ultimately, the only thing that really was the final nail in the coffin for Wenger wasn't not finishing top four. It was the empty seats. And that was sort of seen across the Atlantic by Kroenke. And that's the only reason why they acted, when they were seeing the empty seats.
Yeah.
So that's why, and let's get something right. I mean, there's been lots of things in the past where people saying Kroenke out. And this statement... He's not saying a Kroenke out. We're being very fair, saying
enact change.
All right, you're the owner of this football club. You need to have a bit of some sort of
be more hands on.
Have a heart in it. Yeah. I mean, surely have a bit of a passion for something.
Communication. Communication is key here. What communication do we get from KSE, which says, we know what we're doing. This is our vision. This is the way that we're going to take us forward. And I've had people say, well, actually, you know, they have they've appointed people like Sanjehi. They've appointed people like Venterkasem. Oh, I don't have any real issue with Venterkasem as a person, but he's been in charge of the commercials along with Gazidis in the last 3-4 years, and he's just been promoted. You know, what message does that send? Sorry, Johnny, I'm on my rant
now.
No,
go.
That sends a message to me as a fan that there is an ownership in the US who really don't care. We're going to look, and as long as, at the end of the day, as long as we're making a little bit of cash, that's fine by us. You guys just crack on.
Do you really think this is true?
Gazidis, you can have your £2.5 million a year as your bonus, even though commercially you're not as good. You're not stretching us. You haven't done as much. Yeah. And I'm not an expert on this, but there's a guy on Twitter called Swiss Ramble, absolutely fantastic.
Spot
interrogates
on,
the numbers.
Absolutely
brilliant.
Spot.
You only need to spend 5 minutes looking at some of what he says about the way Arsenal's been run in recent years under Gazidis to say he hasn't been successful. However, he's been given his promotion. He's been allowed to stay on. It was only him that decided to leave the club because good Kroenkes don't care. Mm. You know, as long as you're over there in England, mate, just you know, keep people off our backs. We don't care.
Do you think, in a funny way, Kroenke's too rich to engage with the club, in the sense that even a Roman Abramovich, who is infinitely wealthy, owns a football club. His focus in a sporting context is Chelsea. Kroenke owns countless franchises in America in all kinds of sports. His wife owns a couple as well. He's not going to be focused on Arsenal because Arsenal is one of a vast array of little playthings.
It is. It's an investment vehicle. It's not an investment vehicle that he's pulling money out to put into his LA Rams franchise or his ranch or whatever. The end goal, as we've stated in the letter, is about, for me, is about the European Super League or whichever equivalent further down the line. That's what he's using Arsenal for. He wants to make sure he's on that train, that gravy train. You know, that's why he's not selling to Dangote, the Nigerian guy. He's not selling to any Saudis. He's not selling up to Usmanov. He knows what's lying over the horizon. And that's why, you know, he said he got into Arsenal. Yeah. What did he say?
Not to win trophies.
Not to win trophies.
You don't get into Arsenal.
Also, as well, he's a very successful US businessman. And let's be totally honest, his main concern is the LA Rams. He's got a big project at the moment where they're going across, they're building this new stadium.
Where have I heard that before?
But it is. They are building this new super stadium in LA. He's got a lawsuit coming on from sort of St. Louis City Council. They want to sue him for taking that franchise away from them across the other side of the country. So,
well, could things be worse then? Could we be dealing with Arsenal based in Manchester?
I don't think we'd need to think about it, because obviously London is a bigger catchment area than Manchester, so, you know, there's no need for... But I think, for me, what it is he's, you know, he doesn't really care what happens here. You know, yeah. as long as
the fans here are different to the States, aren't they? Yeah. They are. I mean, just the passion we've got for football and the love that we've got over here. I know Americans love their sports as well. It's different.
It's different because it's ingrained here. You can move a franchise from one end of the country to another, and you couldn't do that here. The fans are much more invested. It's much more entrenched. It's generational. You know, there's a lot more love invested here, and they think he's finding a problem with that.
So these people at the top end of the club, do they not care? Or are they just bad at their jobs? Or is it a bit both?
I think it's a bit of both. But I think as long as he's earning money and he can take what he wants out of it, he's got no need to care. He's not a supporter of the football club, is he? As long as we're ticking over and making money, he's happy. And I think as we've said before, once he starts seeing his brand being damaged, like we did with the empty seats at the Emirates that time, that's when he would care. And that's when he would take a notice. And hopefully with this message now, that's going to get through to the sponsors. That's going to get through to people.
An Arsenal point of view, from an Arsenal fan point of view, it's time for action. I'm just going to read you one line from this letter that Gunners Town have signed, because it reads a bit like a jibe from a Spurs fan. On a match day, the Emirates Stadium can be a soulless place. The atmosphere is poor and there are thousands of empty seats blighting almost every game. Isn't that the responsibility of the supporters? To create an atmosphere, to turn up. Why is that Kroenke's fault?
Well, it's
a symbiotic relationship, if you ask me, because you don't get people turning up to professional football teams and you don't get people building the love if they're not successful. You do. There's to a point you can, but when you get to the big Premier League teams, and particularly with the way that they're being run as businesses. Arsene Wenger always said, when people used to talk about the fans and the relationship between the fans and the players, he said it's a two-way street. It's actually between the club, the players, and the fans. It's a three-way street? Is that a street?
It's a little lane in the middle.
That's like a motorway.
So, I think, you know what, I really think fans have been priced out. The real fans have been priced out. Yeah. And what you've got now is, I think the demographic of Arsenal fans is between 45 and 55. Many of the season ticket holders, many of them can't come. Maybe they can only make a few games a season. Maybe they're saving up the credits for a cup final and whatnot. Not putting it on ticket exchange. Again, that's another thing. The system of putting tickets on the system on public exchange and the access to it is another problem. And we're not getting enough young fans. There's fans out there. In the old days, the young fan could walk in off the street, pay his money and go in. Now it's a lot more difficult. You know, a lot of young fans now that would have been going into the stadium are out in the streets playing or doing whatever. They can't, they've got no relationship. The local kids have got no relationship with that club because they can't get in. It's too expensive. But the thing is, the Arsenal don't really care, because the only way it hurts them is, I'm trying to say, if the empty seats are seen on national, international TV, you know, it doesn't make good, it's not a good look for the game. But aside from that, they've already got people's money. They don't care.
It's time for things to change at Arsenal. And of course, this letter and the hashtag WeCareDoYou movement is trying to do just that. Throughout the show, we're going to be talking to prominent Gooners. And coming up, we'll be chatting to Gav, who's owner of She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, to get his take on things.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Arsenal Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and the lads from Gunners Town. I'm delighted to say we're also joined on the line by Gav, who's owner of She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. Good evening, Gav. Thanks for joining us. I know you're a big part of this hashtag WeCareDoYou movement and the letter that's been signed by 16 major groups, including yours. How did this all come about?
Hello there. Good evening. Good evening, lads.
Hi, Gav. How are you, mate?
Yeah, all good, lads. You?
Very well, thank you, mate.
Not too bad.
Right. Well, basically, a couple of us got talking, and I think it just sort of come to a point, and it was just like, if we don't give this another go, if we don't try and get the fan base united against what Kroenke is and isn't doing at the moment, then it's really, really going to be lost forever. From there, we, like I say, people whose opinions we respected. People who ran blogs, podcasts, etc., were contacted, and like, a meeting was in place. And as Charlie was saying earlier, we all sat in a pub. we all had a little bit of a chat. We all introduced ourselves. It was, you know, it started off as sort of like a little bit of an introduction. Some people I'd met.
I'm Charlie, and I'm an Arsenal fan.
Basically, well, it was kind of like, I stood up, so I'm Gavin. I do the She War stuff, and it sort of went round. Really, I mean, I think it was probably the first time I've had a chat with Giles. Mm. Who's a very clever fella, by the way.
I'll pay you later, Gav.
Text in the post, yeah. And it just kind of went from there, really. I mean, from there it was sort of, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the Red Action, a couple of upset for Red Action was there, someone from the AST, a couple of lads from the Black Scarf lot, a couple of people from Asia. We all just had a chat, and the sort of general agreement, really, was, look, we've got to do something. There's got to be something that we can do. And from there, you know, it was 4 weeks. There was a little steering committee that was, you know, that made this letter and made this statement. And everybody else sort of chipped in and said their bit on it as well. Some people thought it was a little bit too harsh in places. Some people thought it wasn't harsh enough in places. So, you know, there's been a lot of compromise that's gone on, just to, you know, to get this statement out within 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But like I say, the support from all of the lads, all of the Gunnerstown lads, Giles, everybody that went in that meeting, and everybody who sort of joined in from then on,
yeah,
has been brilliant. It's been absolutely brilliant. And the response that you got today was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Gav,
absolutely amazing.
Gav, it's Chris here. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate.
How surprised have you been by the response? I mean, did you expect us to get this level of engagement, not just from a UK fan base, but also globally?
Well, from previous experience that I've had with things like this, I mean, I don't know if anybody knows, but, you know, I was quite heavily involved in protests against Kroenke going back like 7-8 years now. And then a lot of the fan base sort of jeered and sneered at us. I mean, we even had, believe it or not, where there was one event and a few thousand of us walked from Blackstock Road to the ground, and people were sort of chucking coins at us. We was protesting against a 6% ticket price increase.
I remember.
And we had people chucking coins at us and looking down their nose at us.
Were they just trying to help you pay for it, Gav?
Well, I mean, I didn't go in the ground then that day anyway, I don't think. I went straight to the another drinking establishment. there's a theme there, lads. I don't know. I mean, but to answer your question, I'm not surprised because of how I felt about Kroenke and how he runs things and how he does things for this number of years. If anything, my surprise is just how much it's gone today. Just how big it is. I knew it would do okay because of the great people that were involved in it. I think it's a great statement. The statement had a little bit for everything on it, for everybody on it.
Yeah, and you're almost up to 50,000 signatures now on the petition already, wow, which is amazing. Wow. From your point of view, it would by no means solve all the problems of Kroenke's tenure, but how much would it mean if he actually started turning up to games?
Well, I mean, that's a start of showing that he actually cares. Yeah. I mean, I was listening to the show earlier whilst I was on hold, and it was mentioned about Roman Abramovich and how that's okay, Chelsea's his only sporting club, but he puts everything into it. And, you know, we've all probably seen pictures and videos of him celebrating like a fan when they've won trophies.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world Abramovich would not have been, you know, in Baku. Do you know what I mean? There's no way. I mean, it just pales beyond reason to have an owner that doesn't actually care that you're in a major European final. I think it was the first one for, what, 13, 14 years? And he didn't even bother turning up.
I think that, Gav, that's Charlie, mate, as you said, I think what we've said as well before is we just want him to change. As you said, We just want him to show a little bit of passion for St. Ian's, isn't it? We're not asking him to spend £200 million a year. Obviously, it'd be nice. But just to show a little bit of commitment to the club that he owns, that we love so much.
Communicate.
Communicate to us.
Yeah, exactly. And the times he has been over here for AGMs, you know, he's hardly ever spoke. He hasn't answered any questions.
No.
He sits there deadpan-faced. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we've got hundreds and thousands of fans all over the world that live and breathe Arsenal. You know, absolutely live and breathe Arsenal. And, you know, we've got fans that are, you know, third, fourth, fifth generation Arsenal supporters that, you know, live and die for Arsenal. And they see an owner that never turns up, can't be bothered to go major finals. And even like last season, the season before, you know, they've been recruiting in David O'Leary to be the director's representative on away games.
Yeah.
Because them four old white boys, they don't want to be travelling up to Newcastle for an 8 PM kickoff on a Monday night when they could be tucked up at home with their slippers and their pipe.
Yeah.
Do you know what
it says to me? And Gav, it's a really, really good point there about the AGMs. The way that Kroenke approaches those AGMs just shows essentially the utter contempt that he holds us as fans with.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And he did have to, you know, when he bought the shares, he did have the compulsory right to buy everybody's shares off him. But I mean, like I say, there must have been some kind of loophole or some kind of way that even for the even for people to actually be able to keep the share certificate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? People actually had to send their share certificate back in, and you know, I mean, I bet there's people that had them on their wall.
Yeah, of course.
Framed up on their wall. They've
proud,
now got a hole in the wall where their part, you know, where their one share that has been in the family for 20, 30 years, sat proudly on the wall.
Gav, sorry to jump in. How proud are you that so many different fan groups have actually joined under this one flag, under this one umbrella?
I think it's a bit of a miracle, Charles, to be fair. I'll be honest with you, because, I mean, I sat near you. I sat with Tim, who I really gave him a big earache all night long.
Him and me.
and I sat with Ray from Red Action, and me and Ray from Red Action, I think we had a bit of a clear in the air that night, which was lucky because 5 days later, I bumped into Junior Gunners too at the zoo. I think it's really good. I mean, the egos and anyone's kind of me was shut completely out of it.
Yeah.
I think everybody's been completely generous with regards to respect and credit. And so many people that I've never really talked to or worked with before have come together and come up with good ideas. And like I say, it's just been a really, really great group effort. And I think that's reflected on the number of people that have signed the petition. Now, we're calling it a petition. I'm saying that's the number of people that are agreeing with the statement. So we've got the 16, you know, groups that signed the bottom, and then we've got another 50,000 groups who have done it.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's just been a very, very strong message. And from, like I say, I had a chat with one of my mates this afternoon, right this morning, Marba, and me and him used to do little bits and pieces against Kroenke like 7 or 8 years ago. And I really, really respect this fella's opinion. And we had a chat. He said, well, you know, what's it all about? And we were chatting away. And he said, there's a few things that have really hurt the club's egos in the past. Because the only way you can get at a multi-billionaire is to get at his ego.
It's true.
And he said it was things like the billboard that was put outside the ground. It was the stickers that come in everywhere. And like I said, it was a protest against the 6% ticket price increases. But what he was saying is that he had a family member who at the time worked at Arsenal. And he said, look, there'd be meetings set up with potential potential advertisers and stuff like that. And the first thing they saw as they walked towards the ground was that forward billboard. Mm. And the club hated it so much, they actually took the option to lease that billboard for 20 years. Right? So nobody can ever do that to them again.
Couldn't they spend that money on a left back, Gav?
Well, I don't know. No idea. What do we need players for anyway?
And on that cheery note, Gav, it's been lovely speaking to you.
Thanks for joining us.
Gav, their owner of She Wore a Yellow Ribbon blog, one of the 16 signatories of this letter calling on Stan Kroenke to up his game. And it's a game fought across quite a few different pitches. He owns multiple franchises in the US. And in just a moment, we're going to be talking to Nick Schapanek, NFL writer for the Sunday Times, to find out how his ownership is viewed in the USA.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Arsenal Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with Johnny Burrow and the lads from Gunnerstown. Delighted to say, joined on the line by Nick Schapanek, NFL writer for the Sunday Times. Good evening, Nick. Thanks for joining us. Stan Kroenke owns the Arsenal, but he also owns a host of franchises in America. How's his ownership viewed in the States? Is he a popular man?
Well, I suppose the good news that he was voted only the 15th most hated owner in the United States, of course. So, you know, there are worse owners, but only 14 of them, if we're to believe that. I think the particular dislike is felt for him in St. Louis. Of course, he moved the Rams away from the city to Los Angeles, this while the city was still paying for the stadium that the Rams played in, which is now became something of a white elephant. I think what people mustn't confuse him with is and he is a fan. I mean, he's definitely not that. It's a business to him. But bear in mind that in the NFL, you know, the most valuable franchise is the Dallas Cowboys, who are worth $4.8 billion, and they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1996. So winning is not necessarily the thing that matters to him. What is important to him is that the Rams have increased in value many, many times since they moved to Los Angeles. But having said that, you know, they also got to the Super Bowl last year, which a lot of people thought, you know, wasn't on the horizon. I mean, his other franchises, he technically had to transfer ownership of the Denver Nuggets of the NBA and the Colorado Avalanche of the NHL to other family members to satisfy NFL ownership rules, but I mean, they're still within the family. You know, they've been less than mega successful. I mean, you know, that people have qualified for playoffs and everything, but you know, you wouldn't say that winning is the aim for Stan Kroenke.
No, unfortunately, you're right there, Nick. I'm Nick Toll here. Of statements that are going out at the moment, how do you think he will react to this? How do you think he will sort of. It'd be across his desk straight away. I'm sure his people have been.
But you see, when people say, Arsenal feels like an investment vehicle, you know, and they're saying that as a negative, well, of course it is to him. Of course it's. And I suppose if you're looking for positives, you have to say that if you want to, you know, an investment vehicle to prosper, then it's got to make money, and it will make money, by being successful. Now, my personal view was that while Arsenal qualified for Europe and qualified for the Champions League season after season, he was quite happy with that because the revenues stayed up. I can't believe that a businessman, you know, with an eye on the bottom line like him would not want his investment to prosper. So, you know, from that point of view, you'd have to say that whether it's anything to the Arsenal fans do, I think that he will have to invest at some point, or else, you know, he risks seeing Arsenal outside the European places and not losing money. Well, not making money, and that won't be palatable. If you ask me, I mean, I think one interesting thing is the increased involvement of his son, Josh, who, technically speaking, is richer than he is. Well, because
he inherits
his mother is a Walmart heiress, and therefore, you know, a member of one of the richest families in the United States. So he stands to be wealthier than his dad if he inherits, you know, from from his mother's side, and he was out there, you know, he was seen on that Rams and Arsenal sort of day out in the States the other day. So, I mean, some people, okay, you could say that when he took an interest, you know, in Arsenal was when their winning stopped and when, you know, Wenger was eased out. But maybe there's some promise there.
Heinrich, is there any hope for Arsenal fans that, I mean, you've said that he likes profits, he likes to see teams doing well. Obviously, in America, I suppose that comes from commercial deals and TV deals and bums on seats, I imagine. It's nothing to do, really, with, there's no transfer system. So, if we, so what, you know, can, what will he do? What will he do now? He's seen that the club is sort of like in a drift, we're on a downward spiral, so to speak. What can we expect that he will do now?
Well, you see, if you look at Premier League logic, I mean, the most successful, first of all, it looked like the Glazers seem to have had found a good solution, because Manchester United won things while they were, they pursued their leverage buyout and, if you like, were taking money out of the club rather than putting in. But of course, that has tailed off in recent years. But and probably the best model from American ownership is the Fenway Sports Group's ownership of Liverpool, when of course they have moved. You know, they did well with the Boston Red Sox in the American model, and continue to do well with the Red Sox, but also adapted their methods to be successful in European football. And I would imagine that certainly Josh Conker is, if maybe not Stan, who's possibly, you know, has been following his model for perhaps too long to want to change, but would be saying, you know, hey, look at what Liverpool have done under John Henry. Maybe this is the way forward, you know, speculate to accumulate. So, because, of course, that is one thing that you have to do. And of course, you do have Premier League and, to some extent, European money coming in to allow you to do that. So you'd have to assume that, you know, to protect the investment, they would have to, at least to start with, take steps to keep Arsenal in the top six.
So you mentioned Josh. So his role now, how involved is he in the other sort of franchises that Stan owns?
He is. He's sort of front and centre. You know, I'm more of an NFL expert, but I think it's the Nuggets and certainly the Major League Soccer team. He's been front and centre, you know, and he holds executive positions on their boards. So, I think he's probably a guy who gets, you know, he's been over to Arsenal. You know, he came over and on a sort of fact-finding mission, and he was in the director's box at the Royal Box at Wembley, you know, for cup finals. So, you know, he's reasonably hands-on here and on the other side of the pond. So, he's yet to ascend to the hated position that his dad occupies. He, as far as I know, isn't anywhere on that chart, but I suppose you could say give him time.
The night is young.
Can I ask, has he faced this kind of criticism? I mean, I know that there was criticism from the estate or the city of St. Louis when he moved that franchise.
Well,
but how has he dealt with that?
He's not called silence down for nothing. as far as we know, it's water off a duck's back. But, you know, the particular thing about the Rams moving from St. Louis is he is a native of Missouri, and people thought, he's one of us. He wasn't actually from the city of St. Louis, but he was from the state. And people kind of assumed that that would give him some sort of fellow feeling for the Rams. But they soon got disabused of that particular notion. So it is all about the bottom line. But I know in a way that might be the saving grace in that, you know, if he wants to protect his investment, he's going to realise sooner or later that does mean putting some money into the club to keep them above the hungry clubs like Leicester and Wolves and Everton.
Indeed.
Whether he's going to put enough into, you know, to get them into the top four anytime soon is perhaps another question.
Nick, you mentioned that nickname of Silent Stan. Why do you think he is so reluctant to talk to the media?
Well,
he's got a stutter.
It's part of it's just his nature. I mean, it hasn't done him any harm to be sort of reclusive, and some people, you know, just are like that. And he possibly has seen that being more sort of forthcoming with the media, like oh, I don't know, the owners of, at least say, Jerry Jones at the Cowboys and there's other owners. It hasn't really done them a lot of good. I mean, you know, okay, Woody Johnson got to be ambassador to London, you know, the owner of the New York Jets, but maybe he doesn't have those ambitions. I don't know, you know, but he is what he is, you know, and that's what he's always been like, and I don't think there's going to be, you know,
so Arsenal fans can't change him.
AGM.
You don't think Arsenal fans could change him?
I don't really see what leverage they have apart from just not going to games. It was rather unkindly. Some people said, "Oh well, you know, we could kill the atmosphere at the Emirates." Well, hello. with all due respect, you know, it hasn't been on its day. It can be a rowdy arena, but you know, I've been to a few games there when it hasn't been much of an atmosphere. I think, you know, that hit him in the pocket, boycott games, but you know, there will be other people wanting to take seats, and
the problem.
But that's the thing, you know. The bottom line is, I think the thing, you know, I could be grossly misrepresenting the poor man here, but you know, to me, it looks like the bottom line is the thing that matters to him. So, if they can hit him where it hurts, but you know, will enough people, you know, withdraw their support and cancel season tickets and not buy merchandise? Mm. You know, that's going to take a very concerted effort, isn't it?
Yeah, particularly when the new shirt is so good. Nick, lovely to speak to.
Yeah, exactly. And the ad's gone down so well.
Very, very, very true. Thanks for all your insight, Nick. Really, really wonderful stuff. Nick Schepanek there, NFL writer for the Sunday Times. What is the next step? Is it time to boycott? Is that the only step?
I don't agree with that, because I think, even myself, for example, I wouldn't want a boycott game. I love getting Arsenal. It's what I like doing. And I know people will say, well, how are you going to expect change then? Well, I like going on. And if I give up my season ticket, we've got 100,000 waiting list. Someone else is going to have it. So I'm punishing myself for something.
Also, it probably gives KSC exactly what they want. If we had nobody on the season ticket waiting list, because they can open up all of the tickets to general sale to see how many, you know, tourists can come you know, maybe not even Arsenal fans. I know loads of Arsenal fans from across the globe who spend a lot of money to come and watch Arsenal once or twice a season.
Of course.
And fair play to them. But I've also seen plenty of people that have turned up at the Emirates who clearly aren't even bothered watching the game.
No, I just want to film it.
And it's those types of people that don't really care about the club that, hey, that'd be fantastic for Stan if Joe and Jane blogs from Asia somewhere or the Americans come over, they get their program, they spend a lot of money in the club shop, and then they disappear off. They're not really that interested. That works fine for them.
They need a season ticket. They need that guaranteed money.
You do need that money, of course.
And they need the corporate money as well. And what will probably happen is if the corporate stop spending their whatever it is every, I think they have to buy their boxes in 2 or 3 year tranches. If they stop that, as well as guys like you and me and Chris stop, you know, give out our season tickets, I think that's when things might turn. But I don't think. The money's already been paid for, and that's what they're guaranteed. That's what they're banking on.
Do you think the people buying those corporate boxes are even Arsenal fans?
They're not.
No.
But that doesn't matter to Arsenal, as long as you buy those two, three years.
But this is the point, right? Because why would they boycott? They're not going to see the games because they're Arsenal fans.
But you know what it is? They could go to Tottenham. Tottenham's got a brand new spanking stadium. They can go and see the Rams or whoever it is, whatever, or a baseball game or whatever. They're transient. They go wherever wherever is the hottest.
The
in
crowd is, yeah, of course.
You know, so
and that Tottenham Stadium at the moment is the in crowd, and the money between us and theirs shows that as well.
Exactly. It's when it hits his bottom line. That's when things, you know, will hurt. They bank on that season ticket. That's why every May you guys get up in a huff when you see that email, that letter about season ticket renewals.
With the season ticket stuff, though, we get a lot of unfair stick for the price of our season ticket. If you actually break it down, it's not actually that bad.
Yeah, with the seven.
With the seven credits, it's not that bad. It works out, and my one works out an average £41 a game.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. But for me as a football fan, I mean, I know Charlton tickets are £29. You go and watch Charlton in League One. You go and buy a ticket on the day at Charlton, £29.
But you do get to see the brilliance of Lyle Taylor in the flesh.
So, I mean, look, as far as what happens next, there are plans afoot, but we're waiting to see if they answer these questions at the Q&A. You know, what will happen that will be determined on how the club approach this and how they respond.
The club have definitely seen this, and they'll be putting their statements together, how they can deflect it and stuff like that. But and I know for a fact there's people within the club that feel the same way as us. Mm-hmm. So hopefully now this is the message that can go out there. And the most positive thing that's come out of this today, I can honestly say, is how everyone has got behind it.
Unified.
Whether you was a Wenger in, a Wenger out, you're against the club, you'd go or you don't go, you're another side. The worldwide
Arsenal community,
everyone gets, and we've not had that Arsenal for a very long time, very long time.
And we'll be talking to one more member of that Arsenal community in just a moment. You're listening to Love Sport.
This is Love Sport.
Arsenal Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and the guys from Gunnerstown. Delighted to say we're joined on the line by John Williamson at Willow1886 on Twitter. Good evening, John. How did this protest come about?
Well, it started about a month ago, just over a month ago. What happened was a group of like-minded fans had had enough of what happened last season and basically decided to do something about it, all met up in a local pub down Holloway Road and decided on a plan of action.
Hi, John. Charlie here.
Hello, Charlie.
Hey, mate, you good? How you feeling?
Yeah, very well, thank you. You good, self?
Yeah, good, good. Obviously, I'm sure you just listened a minute ago, and you'll be in the same bracket as me. We're never going to give up our tickets. We're still going to go every game. So, what can change now that to really sort of put the pressure on Conkay? And I understand that empty seats in the States, that is a massive impact. They don't like seeing that at any sport. How do you think this football statement is going to really sort of hit Cronkay and how we can sort of get behind it and sort of work it on it?
Well, the good thing is today there's been a website set up and there's been 42,000 Arsenal fans last time I looked on a petition.
It's up to 52,000 now, mate.
Is it really? Yeah. And that's in the last hour or so. Yeah. So there's people coming home from work. The good thing is that the media have got onto this. So I've been at home all day. I've been looking at Sky Sports News. It's been full of it. Obviously, radio stations like this. We've got coverage on most of the national newspapers as well as the locals as well online. So all that's happening. So hopefully, media people out in the USA at the moment, where Arsenal are touring, as we all know, will ask some questions about it. And that will highlight the issue out in America.
Hi, John. Chris here. So, Gav came on earlier and talked about, you know, he protested about the 6% and back in the day, you know, 6-7 years ago. Do you feel like the mood has swung enough that, I'm not talking specifically about protests, but certainly about the fans being more vocal, that any kind of action, whatever that may be, taken in future will have more of an impact either on a global level or even at a stadium or whatever type level?
Oh, that's a hard one, to be honest. Stadium level, if I could start with that, as everyone knows who's ever been to the Emirates Stadium will know that the atmosphere isn't good there, and the stadium itself's not built for sound. It's basically on four different levels and you've got club level and box level in between upper and lower tiers, so sound doesn't necessarily, if you've got sound below, you don't necessarily hear it up, and it's not continuous. So to protest in the ground would be very hard. And also the fact that a lot of diehard fans no longer go to Arsenal, or very few. We've got a lot more, as you call, tourists, people come in just for one game. And I'm not necessarily talking about the foreign fans, because there's a lot of good foreign fans that actually support the club. But those that come in and just want to experience the Emirates Stadium, not really Arsenal fans. So it's very, very hard. Away from home, different kettle of fish. Usually there's 3,000 fans we have away. They're more the diehard fans, the ones that, you know, spend a lot of money, more passionate, care more about the club. And it could well pick up away games.
John, can I ask Giles here, can I ask you, What brought you to this point? You said that, you know, last season we've done it for you, but what exactly brought you and guys and people like yourselves to this point? Because, you know, historically, we've never had this kind of, you know, unification under, you know, one banner. So what brought you to this point?
Well, really, it was the end of last season, the way sort of we capitulated. I've never been a Cronky lover, obviously, but I've never been a Cronky hater either. I've never met the guy. So I you know, hear lots and lots of things, but I hear other things that are going on as well at the club. And so I'm quite neutral on that fact. But the fact is that all of a sudden we capitulated last season. Lack of players, lack of money that appears to be available. And I'm sure the 40 million that's bandied about, there's a bit more than that. But obviously Arsenal are very cagey and probably wouldn't give that sort of information out. But the fact that we seem to be drifting, going nowhere, Spurs overtaking us, I know it's only short term, well, I hope so anyway, but that obviously gets everyone's backs up. And the fact that we it's not about winning trophies, it's about competing. And at the moment, we're not competing. We're not competing in a league. You know, we can get a cup run, obviously, and, you know, with a bit of luck and everything else happens to everyone. You know, we can win cups, but the league is where it's at. And we're not competing in the league anymore. You know, we haven't done for a number of years. And it may get worse, it may get better. We've brought a lot of young players now that come into the squad from the academy, and that's a plus. But whether we can pick ourselves up from that, and probably not. We need to spend money.
John, are you expecting Cronky to listen to you?
That's a toughie. Probably not, to be quite honest. He very rarely comes to the Emirates Stadium, so therefore he's in his ranch in Texas or wherever he is, you know, 4,000 miles away. I'm sure he doesn't listen, you know, he's not on social media, he doesn't listen to what's going on, and probably doesn't give a damn about what the fans think. You know, he's a multi-billionaire, and you don't do that by taking note of, you know, of few thousand or ever many thousand, he's 52,000 now, dissatisfied customers, as they call us now.
It's a tough time to be an Arsenal fan, but hopefully better things on the horizon. John, thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you. John Williamson there, aka at Willow1886 on Twitter. Another of those 16 signatories of this letter. Gents, are you optimistic? You've got tens of thousands of signatures already. As we've said on the show already, Arsenal fans united behind a common cause for the first time, arguably in my lifetime. Where's this going to go next?
Well, I think we're after a good start. Okay, we've got the message out there. We've got the support. We've got people behind it. As people have all mentioned, not already, we've got the news outlets behind it. We've got a lot of the radio, the press, everyone's behind it. So we've just got to keep trying to get that message, trying to get it out there, trying to just... And I want to just really stress, it's not a Cronky out thing, as we've mentioned so many times. And this statement was very carefully worded. And that first meeting we had, it was mentioned so much. This is not an anti-Cronky out thing.
This is not a Charlton situation.
No, this is not a, we want you to settle, go. We want you to care. You're obviously a very wealthy businessman. You're involved in sports in the States a lot. You're obviously experienced what you do. And you've got Josh, who's now supposedly, you want him to be involved and you want him to be included in a lot more at the club. We want you to really, as Nick mentioned, the Fenway Group, whether they've got the Red Sox and now Liverpool, what they're doing is working. It works. Do you know what I mean? They're investing in Liverpool. They care for Liverpool. We just want the same as that.
Is it a chicken and egg situation, though? Because they're investing in Liverpool and they care for Liverpool because it's working on the pitch, and they're not going to do that until it starts working on the pitch.
But it wasn't working on the pitch when they started, was it?
And what they've done, they've put key personnel in key positions. They've got a guy that's really big on the stats and the research and the analytics and whatnot, and he's doing a fantastic job. He's got a great relationship with the board and with the manager, and that's working fantastically well. They're kind of self. I don't know how much Fenway have put into the club, but it seems like they've bought and sold really well.
Really well.
You know, and that's something you cannot say about
Arsenal. Solanke for 18 million.
You know.
Do you know what I'd say? I'd say Are Arsenal doing, the people at Arsenal, at KSA, are they doing absolutely everything within their power to make Arsenal as competitive as possible, which is what they've always talked about? I believe if you look at the Fenway Sports Group, you probably say, well, they are trying, yeah. And it doesn't take them just slapping £200 million. That's not what we're asking about. Do all that you can. Put, as you said, Giles, put the right people into the right positions. Hold them accountable. Say, if you do not succeed, if you do not hit the objectives that we give you, we will try a different direction. That's what we're asking.
I should have asked Gav this when he was online, but I get the impression that, you know, Fenway have a better relationship with their fans than Gillett and Hicks did with theirs. And that's what, you know, we're talking about listening, the owners listening. That's what they've got to do with us.
And that's what Arsenal fans are asking for. They're asking to be listened to. They're asking to be recognised. They're asking to be prioritised. And the message to Kroenke and the board is clear. We care. Do you?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.